We have some members we haven't seen for such a long time. Such a glory it is. We're so thankful for the both of you and for all these young ones. It's a good thing to be here today, as it is every time we assemble, Mondays or Wednesdays rather, and Sunday evenings. And it is a blessing. And we who assemble together receive that great blessing from God. Blessed are they who do His commandments. The song that we just sang, and it's a wonderful song. They shall have access to eternal life, to the kingdom of heaven. This morning, my clicker's not working. We want to talk this morning about what was read in the book of Ephesians. And the very first verse that we read was Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah, let me fix this technology here, maybe. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. And we're going to talk about seven blessings that are listed here in the book of Ephesians. And it's such an important thing. It is God who blesses us through Jesus Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And we want to make an emphasis there in Christ. So we want to first kind of mention what is it that's not in Christ? And you might be interested to know that not all the blessings are spiritual blessings in Christ, because some of those blessings that God gives us are not in Christ. And that means that those blessings are really offered to everyone in the world. I want you to think about this. God has blessed us. Think of Genesis 1 and 1, where God has created the heavens and the earth. And He did that for man. He created all these things, then He created man, and He gave God, man the dominion over the earth. What a blessing it is to go outside and to see the glory of God. You look up into the heavens and you see the glory and majesty of God, the power of God in creation. What a powerful thing that is. And that's a blessing that everyone can partake of, even those who refuse God. Receive the great blessings of His creation. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, we read that God sends rain. And that rain, of course, gives us crops and food. The food grows. And as a result of that rain, what happens? God provides food for our souls, that we can rejoice. That's what God does, and that's for everyone who lives on the earth. In Acts chapter 17 and 28, again, great blessings for God. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Let me make sure I quote that right. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. I don't want to misquote God. Paul's talking to the unsaved people, by the way, in this account. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. In Him we live and move and have our being. And now he's not talking about just the disciples. He's not talking about the apostles, the brethren that are with him. He's talking about every living soul. What a blessing that is. And yet that blessing is not in Christ. These blessings are not exclusive to those who are in Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Right? God causes the sun to rise on what? The evil and the good. And He sends rain on the just on the unjust. And when we think about this and what that rain does, think of the farmer. You have a farmer over here on the left side, and that farmer is a godly man. He has a godly wife, godly children. You know, he prays like Cornelius, and he gives alms to the poor like Cornelius. Then God sends rain, and his crops grow. But over here on the left or right side is a farmer who despises God. And he lets people know. And yet the rain falls and his crop grows. You see, God's blessings that are outside of Christ fall upon all people. And we need to realize that. Not every blessing is a spiritual blessing in Christ. There is such a difference. And prosperity is not promised. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you can read about the Apostle Paul. What happened to Paul? He shipwrecked, left for dead, stoned and left for dead. He received 40 stripes from the Jews, minus one, naked. You know, in the depth, in death, Paul has gone through so many things. He lists those all out there, and listen, that's not a great thing. And when you think about this, things of the rain and all those things, they fall on the just and the unjust. And you know, Matthew 8 and 20, Jesus himself said the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Even Jesus had suffered on this earth. Think of Job. Of course, when you think of Job, I want you to remember that the book of Job is not all about Job's suffering. And we'll study that sometime. It's about the victory that Job has over sin. It's about his victory, not about his suffering. And if it's all about his suffering, then it's a wasted book. The book of Psalm, verse 73, let's look at that. That kind of sums it up for us. Psalm 73, beginning in verse 3. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, but their strength is firm, and they are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment, and their eyes bulge with abundance, and they have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Boy, you know, I think of a song that I don't think it's in our hymnal, but it's one of my favorite songs, Farther Along, right? That song, tempted and tried, we oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. And that song goes on in another verse, that it says, then we wonder why others prosper living so wicked year after year. You see, God's blessings can fall upon us. We can have good times and hard times, but those aren't the spiritual blessings that we're talking about that are in Christ. And there are many people who pervert the gospel in powerful and tremendous ways. You know, we have these so-called evangelists, Benny Hinn, and Oral Roberts, Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer. They promise prosperity, twisting the scriptures. They twist the scriptures to their own selves. And I want you to think about what they do. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and at verse 10. And I want you to understand, the book of Malachi is about judgment. It's about wicked priests and people who have done wrong and are going to fall under condemnation. The Bible, the book of Malachi, isn't all about good things. But these people, they twist the words of Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, we read these words, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that my house, that there may be food in my house." Bring all the stores into the, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that my house may be full. And when they do that, what they're saying, what these people are saying, my house means me, the preacher, the evangelist. They twist that. That isn't what God is really talking about here. Because these people are not doing what God said. They're not bringing in their proper tithes. But these evangelists, you know, they get filthy rich, living in $1 million, $10 million, $500 million homes. Kenneth Copeland one time said that God has given me so much riches that he's made these jets so cheap that I can't help but buy some. And he says, I use this jet to go around the world and glorify God. But what he does is he goes around the world and tells people, you just give us all that you have. You give it to me for the work in the kingdom and God will prosper you. You have a credit card. You're having trouble with your debt. You use that credit card to give $1,000 to this ministry, to put that into God's house. And God will pay off all your credit cards. That's what they tell people. They take people that are really ignorant about what the scriptures say and they twist the scriptures in their minds and they steal from the poor and give it to themselves, the rich. The Lord says, test me if you will, and I'll do this. He says, I'll open the floodgates of heaven, and I'll pour out for you such blessings that there won't be room enough to receive them. That's what Malachi said, and yet that isn't what they preach. They preach that if you give me your money, God will open the floodgates to you and give you great blessings, but they leave the people poor. It's a sad thing. In the book of John 10:10, right? Jesus said, I've come into the world that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. They twist that scripture to mean that if you ask Jesus into your heart, that Jesus will prosper you. You will have money more abundantly. And that isn't what Jesus was saying. In Philippians 4 and 19, the same kind of thing. God shall supply all your needs according to his riches by Jesus Christ. All our needs, not all our wants. And yet we sit, and these people preach, you have a need, give me money. And so they pervert it. Peter plainly said, in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. And that's what they do. And listen to me. If we're going to talk about these seven spiritual blessings in Christ, Paul states that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Listen to who us is. It's the church. These evangelists will turn us into the individual and in reality themselves. And they pervert the scripture. You know, Jesus Christ is the water of life. He quenches all our spiritual needs. And so that we don't thirst again. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And through that bread, we are filled. All our spiritual needs. We'll never need to go somewhere else other than Jesus. We don't need to go out into the world and check out Muhammad. We don't need to check out Islam in any way or Hinduism. We don't need Mary Baker Eddy. We don't need Joseph Smith, Charles Taz Russell. We don't need anyone else. In fact, if you're in Christ and your hope is in all the scriptures, you don't need me. We don't need a pope. We don't need anybody except Jesus. This is all we need in Christ. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And how do we get the knowledge of God? We read the scriptures. And so you need to be a child of God that doesn't need me. You need to have that knowledge. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus clearly said, the words that he spoke were the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life. We need nothing else than the words of Christ. For the child of God, every spiritual need is completely satisfied in Christ, not in anyone else. We don't need to look anywhere else. So the first spiritual blessing says he chose us before him in the foundation of the world. That's verse 4 of Ephesians. He chose us in him before the foundation. Well, now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean anything that Calvin teaches. Because what Calvinists do is they take those words, he chose us, and they forget everything else that's written. And what they're saying is, we who are saved were predestined to be saved. That God, before the foundation of the world, decided who's going to be saved and who isn't going to be saved. That you do not have free will. You have no choice in the matter. And that is not what it means. Because he goes on to say the reason why we're chosen is so that we should be holy, sanctified, right? Set apart without blame before him in love. That's what the church is all about. Being in Christ is where you must be in order to receive this blessing. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't been baptized for the remission of sins, you're not in Christ. You haven't been added to the body. And if that be the case, you cannot partake of this spiritual blessing because you won't be chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You haven't made that decision. And the second one, he says in verse 5 that he predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. I want you to think about what that means, the adoption, right? Without Christ, we were aliens. We were in the sins, the wickedness of our minds. But yet, he says, he adopted us. He adopted us as a child of God. We can call him Father. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, you read about what Jesus said. He said, ask, seek, and knock. And if we ask, we'll receive. Ask who? Ask the Father. If you're in Christ, you can do that. If you're not in Christ, you can pray all day long and it means nothing. You can ask God for help, and it means nothing. But we can ask, and we can seek, and we'll find. And the knocking of the door will be opened. That's what Jesus said. And he goes on to talk about a father on the earth and how, you know, a father, you ask a father for bread, he doesn't give you a stone. So our fathers, if we have a father and he's a, especially if he's a godly man, he's not going to give you something that is not going to fulfill your need. If you ask him for fish, he's not going to give you a serpent. And yet your heavenly Father is greater than all these. You think about how great your heavenly Father is, and when you ask, seek, and knock, he's going to answer. If you're in Christ, he's going to answer. And you're going to receive that blessing because you have been adopted. He's looking at you as one of his children. And I think that's powerful. Thirdly, in verse 6, he made us accepted in the beloved. Think about what that means. We're no longer alienated. We are now reconciled in God. Colossians chapter 1. Read that with me. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 21 through 23. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Think about those words. We are not aliens of God. We've been reconciled. We've been brought together by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, you go back a little bit. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 12 and 13, very similar words. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That means that they were Gentiles. They had no hope. They were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What a blessing it is to be accepted in the beloved. Number 4. Redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Once again, we're no longer alienated. Once again, we have been brought together by the blood of Christ. And we have the forgiveness of sins. And that is through nothing but the blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb of God, without blemish, without spot. What a blessing. But those blessings are in Christ. This doesn't apply to you if you're not in Christ. And God has opened up his will. God has opened up his mystery, verse 9. That means that we can look and understand the will of God. We have within us the gift of the Holy Spirit that can help us to understand these words that were breathed out by God. And we have these words. God's will has been opened up. We know what God wants for us in our lives. And that only applies to those who are in Christ. We're no longer groping around. Matthew 7 and 24, whoever hears these words of mine, I shall liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended and the winds blew and the floods came and they beat on that house and it did not fall. Why? The words of Christ. We don't have to worry. You think of John 14, 26, 15, 26, 16, 13. What do all those have in common? The promise of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. The promise that on the day of Pentecost, they would receive that power from above. The Holy Spirit would come upon them, and they would have the ability that no one else has on the earth. We don't have to worry because they've been given that ability and they are the ones that wrote these words. Number 6, he gathered together all things in Christ. That's in verse 10. Listen to me what that means. Right? There's no separation now. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no separation there. Slave or free, no separations anymore. Male or female, no separations. We're all one in Christ Jesus. When you are in Christ, there isn't a difference between black and white, male and female. There's no difference in any of us. We are all in Christ who have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. We are now receiving the spiritual gifts. And there is, God has brought all things together, reconciled all things into Christ. And we can find great comfort in that. We're not like the world out there. We don't have all the disputes. You know, in the world that we live in today, black is black, white is white, and separation. Right? In the world that we live in today, things aren't all together in one. No way, shape, or form. But in Christ they are. What a blessing that is. Finally, in number 7, we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, what power there is in this inheritance. We have to understand that an inheritance meant that for both men and women, they've received to have established a relationship with Christ. That's what in Christ means. We have a relationship with Christ, and we are now inherit ability to inherit the blessings of heaven, the riches of God. If you're not in Christ, you can't. That's not yours. We have the hope of eternal life. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 4. I'm going to read verse 3 and verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, when you have an inheritance, that means that whatever your father has is passed on to you. When we physically die in this world, we spiritually live with the hope that one day we'll receive the inheritance in heaven. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, that inheritance means no more tears. That inheritance means no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. All things are new. All those things are done. All the wickedness, all the pain and suffering, it's all done. If you're not in Christ, that's not yours. And you need to think about that this day, because you have opportunity this day to be in Christ. What do we have to do to be in Christ? That's the most important question. How does one get into Christ? Well, let me tell you that throughout all of this, we read that the spiritual blessings are in Christ. Spiritual blessings in the heavens are in Christ. And so that's where all the goodness is. In Christ. So how do we get into Christ where all these blessings are? We're chosen, predestined for adoption, made accepted in the blood, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How is it that he's made known to us the mystery of his will, gathered together all things in Christ, and we have obtained an inheritance? How do you partake of all those blessings? You've got to be in Christ. Jesus himself said that we need everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, John 6:45. We hear, we learn. And that draws us to Jesus. And he says, you must believe that I am he, John 8:24. And then he tells us also, unless you repent, you'll likewise perish. We need to turn away from sin. Recognize, I am a sinner. I've used bad language. I've stolen. I've cheated. I've had adultery in my mind or lust for. It doesn't matter what the sin is. But we need to repent, recognize I'm a sinner, and I'm going to turn away from sin. Confess me before men, Jesus said. And then he tells us to be baptized. Believe and be baptized, and you shall be saved. That's how we get into Christ. That's how we are transferred or translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We follow those steps this day, and you will be in Christ, and you will begin to receive those spiritual blessings that are only in Christ. Christ. You have a need this day? If you do, I invite you to come forward, whether it is to be baptized into Christ or to confess and repent sin, to be restored back to God. Whatever your need is, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.